Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Sensational, Alan. Happy to be here, out in the podcast, out in the studio. Got a whiskey in hand, and yeah, looking forward to the pod.
Nice. I got myself a, what is it, a caramel whiskey.
Okay.
And it was just like they were tasting it at Dan's. And I had a taste, and like I like sweet stuff, so it's good. I think it's really good. I'm sure, like I know it's not a good whiskey, but I enjoy having a bit of it with some ice. It's not bad. I didn't pour myself one today, but it's been my little go-to lately. So like a salted caramel whiskey, a brand I've never heard. So it's like.
Okay. You know
what I mean? It's like those peanut butter whiskey ones that pop up where it's just some crap whiskey with some peanut butter in it. But this tastes good. And I've had a few glasses of it in a night, and it doesn't like make me feel gross. So
I have to say I've had peanut butter whiskey a couple of times, but one time I had it on the ski slopes and it was great. Like that paired really well. There was something about being on a snowboard and drinking peanut butter whiskey that I was like, this is a gem.
I like it. I got a bottle of the, like banana whiskey one time, the monkey howler or something.
Yep.
That's not for me. That's not. You can't have a couple of drinks of that.
Yeah.
But I had, the old man had some in cans the other day, actually, and it was not bad with a can of Coke. So okay. Maybe I judged it too quickly, but I'll probably, yeah, not have too many of the shit whiskeys with some flavor in it.
Yep.
I got out to Bald Hill on the weekend. There was no other disc going on, and I played the non-ventational layout with some mixed results. I had two rounds out there, and it was interesting. So I went out there on the Saturday, feeling good, nice sunny day, not too windy. I was plus three through the front nine.
Okay.
Which is not ideal.
Not ideal.
It's not where you really want to be on that. But I was like, I can limit the damage here. I hadn't played one at, you know, there's only 9. 10 was a par 4. And we sort of think, can't remember what happened. But anyway, we skipped sort of that. We ended up playing 10 and 20 together. Plus 19 I finished on. So a plus 16 back 11.
Wow.
Yeah. some tired throws in there too, which that didn't make sense to me because I was feeling good into it, but there was a couple holes, par 3, just normal Bald Hill par 3s where I well missed the island and then threw bad upshots and then missed it again. And so it would have been a four.
Yeah.
Just like I had two terrible fours that are sixes.
Yeah.
On that layout.
Yeah.
And that's boom.
It's going to get you.
That's plus six right there in those two. So, it wasn't even that bad. Like it was bad, but it wasn't that bad. There was just two holes that really reamed me and some other stuff that was not so good. So, I mean, if you're off, it gets ugly quick. The missed island to missed island is brutal combination.
Yep.
But anyway, I was feeling a bit sad and sorry for myself. The next morning, or next lunch or something time, Chris Scott sends me his score and very handy neg 3.
Yeah.
With a triple bogey on hole 20.
Yeah.
Which it just does not need to be. I mean, you can. I can see how it easily comes. That was a miss island setup. But so he was very close to a neg 6, but we did this sort of count, so discluded the two additional par 4s,
10 and 20,
and 20, added, took two more strokes off for the changing of pars on hole 3 and 5.
Yep.
There's two holes that are also different, so we don't play like that short par 5, but if we counted the same one from the road and called that a par 5, like that's very, it's probably harder if anything. Yeah, yeah. And then same as hole nine. We don't play hole nine. There's another version that was probably harder.
Yep.
But yeah, but anyway, by the time we did that and then took away the penalty strokes, then he would have shot his equal PB negative 14.
Yeah.
So it took a negative 14 to get a neg 3, which is not promised. Like, I wasn't looking for that.
No.
But yeah, more like the neg 6, which we would have had if he didn't take a triple bogey. That looks a little better on paper for mine. So. I don't think there'll still be nice scores, but anything in the negative is going to be very, very good.
Yeah, but who signed up?
We saw Dave Perry sign up.
Yeah.
So he might just get neg 14.
Exactly. I think he's licking his chops. Mm. I think that, you know, the wind has finally blown far enough that it's landed in his lap, and he's like, okay, I see what's going on here. And he wants a piece. He wants a piece. Yeah.
And I think he'll like the piece. So Chris Scott's round inspired me. And my sadness in my last round, I was like, all right, I'll get back out there today. So I went on the Sunday and I did the dual tees. Maybe I'm fucking myself here with the dual tees, because when I played it before with Doug and scored pretty good, I was on the dual tees. So I've done that again and I shot a plus 6. So just a cool 13 strokes better than the day before.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually did the scores for that one. And I looked back and applying the same principle, that would have been a neg 9 round for me
at
Bald Hill, which that's a good round for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I normally, it's like 10's my best, but like 6 is trash. It's Bald Hill stretch for mine, because 6 is trash, but 10's the best I've ever done.
Yeah.
So neg 9 is pretty good for me. And yeah, that was a plus 6. And so that would have been, compared to Chris Scott, neg 14. So 5 strokes difference. But it ends up playing 9 strokes difference on the day. And that's where I think the disconnect's going to be. That's, I think, just the worse it off, the bigger the gap's going to be. So that's how Dave Perry will end up getting 1100 rated RAM.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
It's just Fountain Hills. We're doing Fountain Hills.
Yeah.
So, no, it's exciting. Oh, I'm keen. Yeah, good to see him sign up. We're almost full, too. We had one pull out, so I think there's 2 or 3 slots left. But, yeah, it's going to be good. Yeah, I think you put something on socials and we had like a shit ton of reposts or something, didn't we? Or a shit ton of views.
Yeah, well, it went viral. As far as Throllers virals goes, it hit like 600 eyes or something.
Crazy.
So yeah, it got a few reposts and the little arrow indicates people who have sent it to people. So 7 people sent it on to someone. Hey, check this out. And so that's why it ends up hitting so many eyes.
Sick. I like it. And you had something else on our socials too, all right? Or you want to get to that later?
Well, remind me what I put on my socials.
Didn't you put out, I thought you made it, but maybe you did it, with the Paul Macbeth and Gammon thing?
Yeah, I made that. Yeah, I'm so proud of that. Yeah, 100% I made that.
You've just forgotten it.
No. You have to remind me. I've been big on the socials the last few days. Yeah. I've been sitting around. I made that. And not only did I make it, I made it on my phone. And I was actually very happy with how I aligned the size of Michael Jordan to the size of Paul Macbeth's head.
Good.
On my phone. I thought, you know what? That's come off. But I was slowly catching up on Tour Life, and I was listening to an old episode following Ledgestone. It's now after Ledgestone. And little did I know that Gannon Burr was given the forum to talk about his speed of play. I just not lighted him, you might remember from last week, I figured something was going on with a marshal. Anyway, he got into that story. Turns out, yeah, there was a whole thing with the marshal. Have you listened to the Tour Life episode?
Yeah.
So obviously I wasn't familiar with that when I did my not light, but retrospectively, I was like, yeah, I'm so proud of my not light. Like, I've nailed that. Like, he said on the podcast, like, oh, yeah, I wanted to prove a point. I was like, I've fucking nailed this. You've proven no points. Play faster. Like, the point you've proven is you're taking too much time. That's the point you've proven. But anyway, he called out Paul Macbeth. and said that Paul McBeth should have been penalised on two or three occasions throughout the tournament. And, like, it wasn't in jest, and he wasn't actually having a dig at Paul. But the way I spliced it up was like, yep, fuck you, Gannon. He's having a dig at Paul, and Paul's done the whole I've taken that personally meme.
It was good. Yeah. It was a good good creation by you. I really like that.
Yeah.
But I have a... I like Gannon Burr now. Yeah. I'm a genuine Gannon Burr fan, and it's the more I hear him, the more I like him. So we had different ways of reading that, because I listened to that and I was like, yeah, fuck that shit. Why shouldn't Paul get caught on that stuff?
Yeah,
liked it. He genuinely was like, cool, call me. I'm more, it's a rule. If I'm taking too long, call me. No, I have no problem with that. I'm not going to get upset. Do it. He goes, but, you know, I had a marshal on my ass. People tell me this. And then, and his mom, his mom seems like strong Karen vibes for mine.
Strong Karen vibes. Yep. I get around that.
And I think he's just, you know, he's grown up in that. So he's got a bit of that rubbing off him, but I think he's shining through. And he's like, she was filming, she was timing. Cause obviously she's like, leave my boy alone.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, you know, I won't say that. And he's like, oh no, fuck it. Like, people are going to figure it out. He's like, you know, Paul did this. I got in trouble for walking down the fairway and looking at a lie. Paul did that. No problem there. Like, Paul took 40 seconds on this and that. No problems there. Like, these other people had. And I'm like, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So, no, I like him. I'm full turned. I was like, man, this kid's a douche. But I don't know. I'm on him now. I'm a big Gannon Burr fan. To the point when he was battling with Paul, I was rooting for Gannon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is big.
It's big. I didn't even realize I was that far until I was watching the last few holes. And I'm like, let's go. Like, it was just like, Gannon hits a putt. I'm like, let's go. And I was like, oh, shit.
Where did that come from? Yeah. No, I'm not off Gannon. And, like, I'm proud of my not like. But, no, I don't disagree with – I don't disagree with anything that he said in regards to that. And he does obviously have a target on his back. There's no doubt about that. But there is no way I was rooting for Gannon down the stretch.
I was the only one.
I was fucking so on the Paul bandwagon. Like, that was such an elite fucking situation.
It was good. It was very good. Yeah, like I said, I didn't even mean for it. I was just, all of a sudden it was happening.
It was funny. I was talking to Aller about this. I was like, do you reckon there's people in there is people in disc golf, given the growth and the trajectory of this game, there are big fans of disc golf that have never seen Paul take down a victory.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Like, he hasn't won in 2 years. Like, so anyone that's got on in the last 2 years hasn't seen him win.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's crazy.
Someone said, like, one of the coverage things had a stat that was something like, Paul hadn't been leading a tournament final round since like 2022 Waco or something. And I was just like, nah, nah, that's not correct. And they had the exact same reaction. Like, we checked it three times. It's like, that's not real. Like, cause he's still good. He's still on a lot of league cards.
Real good. Yeah. He's having a great year. I put in our chat, didn't I? I was like, this was earlier in the event. It was like day one of the event. And I was like, for someone who hasn't won this year, like, he's having a much better year this year than last. I was like, fuck, he's having a good year. Like, he, up until the weekend, he was the best player in the league this year that hadn't won one this year.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
We should just talk, we already have talking about it. We may as well talk about the tourney. I'm sure you watched a lot of it. How did it shake out for Paul and Gannon?
Yeah. So I watched loads of it, loads of the FPO as well. With Ilya being up at all hours, I've just capitalized on being like, I'll take the midnight shift. Don't worry, I'll do it. And I just get
what
up
a husband. Watch. What a guy.
Watch a bunch of it. Like, the shift that I don't want is like the 3 a.m. shift. There's no disc golf at 3 a.m. until 6 a.m. So I get out of the 3 a.m. shift anyway. On Scoggins, 7-stroke victory, just wire to wire. Took the lead over Cat Allen round one. He stretched the lead over Alexis Mundahano round two. Goes into the final round with a 6-stroke lead. No one else on lead card got going. Missy had a good round, but anyway, On just smashes it by 7 strokes. 1,000 rated event, second place for Missy. And then the twins, Valerie and Alexis, go 3-4, which is pretty elite. Who'd you tip?
I went for Sarah Hocum.
So, okay. Out of the box, wow.
Great. I was like, oh, fuck, I'm so good. And then it kind of all went away.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, 13th place, yeah.
Yeah, not bad for Sarah Hocum, though.
No, I'll take the shit out of that.
Yeah. After Valerie's victory last year, I thought, you know what, I should tip Valerie. Turns out I already had at some random point right at the start of the season. I was like, whatever, I'll take her sister. Her sister's going to be like, if they're anything like me and my sibling, the sister's going to fire up. sure enough, best fucking result for the year for Alexis Manahanu, and takes a 4th. So big for my tipping.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Frustratingly huge.
Frustratingly huge. Like, for the entire field in our tipping comp, yeah, that was big.
Yeah.
Over to the MPO. Yeah, just these guys. What the pros did at Northwood Black, like, we should have saw this. Like, after they made Northwood Black look like child's play, we should have anticipated that shit was going to get wild at Idlewild, pardon the pun. And, yeah, a bunch of people went double digits. 12 players went double digits round one, which is just crazy, with Paul McBeth, Gavin Babcock, and Jesse Logan-Necker. Tied on neg 12 after round one, and Gannon bursting 1 stroke back there in T4. We go to round two, and a few more familiar names just kind of cream rises. You now got Paul McBeth going into the final day with a 1 stroke lead, as you said, over Gannon, and then closely followed, 5 strokes back, Kyle Klein. So it's a 2-horse race. But Kyle Klein, another player that's just like, they're saying it on Tour Life today, he's the most underrated player in the comp right now.
Yeah.
Like, this kid is currently ranked 7 in the world and, like, top 10s every week, and no one talks about him.
Yeah.
So, anyway, he's going into round 2 in 3rd. And then Raven Newsom, a player that occasionally pops off. He had a neg 11 round 2. So, he finds himself on the lead card for day 3, for the final day. And then, yeah, you know, they went toe-to-toe, Paul McBeth and Gannon Burr. They were nervous. The pair of them were nervous. Paul stretched his lead out to 4 strokes, and then Gannon just had like the most hectic throwing eagle, on, was it like hole 6 or something?
Hole 8. It was 6.
Hole 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hole 8.
A hole that sees very few birdies.
Yeah.
So more bogeys than birdies and just a shit ton of pars, and he takes a fucking 2.
Yeah, this is not one of the eagleable holes. Crazy. And then, like, I'm watching live. I got to watch that whole morning live. It was so good. And I'm like, fuck, that's like the holy shot. Like, Paul's going to lose, and it's going to take something hectic like this, because, like, Paul's playing out of his skin, right? Anyway, then they go backwards and forwards a little bit. Paul picks up a bogey on 12.
Before that, sorry, because this is when it was like for me. So Gannon gets it says 315 foot, so 100 meter throw in.
Yeah.
And then on hole 10, he hit that, it says 49 foot.
Yeah.
Throw in. So it wasn't even in, oh, it must have been in C2. But it was just deep. I feel like I remember him and Paul were both at like 50 feet, and
yeah,
Paul missed it.
Uphill.
And then Gannon just hits it, and I was like, "You're done." Like, I don't know what you do with this guy. Like, you had him on toast, and then he fucking throws one in, and then hits one from deep circle two holes later. Now he's beating you. Like, you had a good run.
Yeah,
it's all I was thinking.
And it was just ice. Like, it was hard of the soul, that putt uphill, and like you're right. Paul just missed like essentially like the identical putt. They both then birdie 11, and then Paul goes on to bogey the next with some, like, elite scramble to even get that bogey. Were you watching live at this point? Or just, or
sort
watching?
Of. So I was working, but I had it in my ears and, like, on my ladder. So I was kind of, like, off and on, and then I'd look at if something spicy was happening.
He was in jail and just, like...
Oh, just yeah.
Just like the commentators were like, what's he even looking at? And he would have been looking at nothing. Anyway, got out onto the fairway, actually had half a chance to save par, didn't, took the bogey, but two-shot swing, Gannon Burr, now in the lead. The very next hole, and like, I don't know. I don't love when we get into this situation on the podcast. But anyway, it was just fun. The very next hole, Gannon Burr fucking butchers it. Paul McBeth choking as well. Like, could have really fucking taken loads of strokes off Gannon on hole 12 because Gannon went early tree, then OB, all sorts of shenanigans. WGO pulls back in the lead. And then, yeah, Gannon's eagle obviously took it back to one shot on hole 16. Paul gets greasy on 18 and then gets clutch. Goes from greasy to clutch.
What a shot.
And, yeah. And it's not like I didn't love Gannon's post-round interview. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
It was just straight after the thing. It was too fresh, and I think he would take his words back now if he was given the opportunity. But when it was right hot mic right there, right now, he was like, oh, obviously I'm dirty on how it finished. Like, I hate to lose to some luck, was essentially his words. But it was a bit of like a hot mic moment, and yeah, I'm sure he didn't actually think that. And I've heard some like since reflections, and he's like, yes, it was a little left, but he hit his angle and – you know, really only had to kind of beat a couple of trees, and he did, and then he capitalized, as Paul McBeast does. And bang, he finally gets one.
Yeah, the upshot was fucking incredible. I was like, he won't get this. I was like, we're going to a playoff and he'll lose. Like, the whole time, I just was like, Gannon will beat him. Gannon will beat him. Yeah. Gannon will beat him. Yeah. And then that's he just such a hard parks upshot. It. And I was like, what the fuck? Like,
those guardian trees don't let anything under, but with enough height to then bullseye. Like, that crazy. Was an elite upshot. Yeah.
Nah, it was messed up. So it was really cool to see. I was definitely happy for him. I wasn't dirty or anything like that. I just found myself rooting for Gannon. And it's big because, like, you think of the Gannon Burr era. Like, I kind of think that fool started last year. Like, last year he was like, I'm the best player in the world. Like, he's been good before that, but he was 11. You know what I mean? Like, he's 20 now, which is still nothing. But at least he's not a teenager anymore. Like, I don't know. And, like, last year, this year, like, he's the best player in the world for sure. And that just happened to coincide when Paul stopped winning. And he's got a win in the Gannon era now. And I think that's huge. Like, if Gannon had to shut him out, that goes a long way in a 10 years time conversation.
It doesn't really
matter what happens now, but it's like, Paul's like, well, when I wasn't even me anymore, I still got one.
Yep.
So it was cool. I'm sure no one was mad at it.
No. I was going to honorable mention this later, but I'll just mention it now. Like, Paul's not done. Obviously, Paul still has, like, I didn't know, but they got into it on Tour Life today, and Paul still has, like, McBeast mentality, and he's got goals. And this might surprise some listeners, and I think it might surprise you a little bit, Alan. Paul for sure sees disc golf imminently in the Olympics.
Wow, that's crazy.
And he said, my goal that motivates me now is I will be the USA representative at the Olympics.
That's good.
And he's like, and so he went on to say, he goes, in my mind, I've got 2 years to get back the number one spot because I think that's when it's all going to shake out and they're going to be picking for the Olympics.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's cool to hear, I guess, for him. He's got that fire.
And he told Gannon. He's told Gannon. sick. He's like, oh, by the way, dude, like, I'm repping us at the Olympics.
Yeah, don't get too comfortable there, big dog.
Yeah.
That's sick. Imagine that. Imagine he just becomes Paul McBeth again.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucked. And you just got, like, full on, like, this every week. Gannon and Paul McBeth every week with just a Cole Radal and coming out of nowhere for nothing and in third. Yeah. And then everyone else is just left for dead.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah.
I could get around that.
Yeah.
It was cool. I'm excited. And we finally got a week off. I feel like it's been like 12 weeks in a row of disc golf, Pro Tour. So good to have a little break, I think.
Who'd you tip in the MPO?
In the MPO, I went for, what's his name? Oh, Buckets.
Yes, good call.
Buckets. I got a couple good tips left and I didn't like them here because Idlewild is tough, I think, to pick. And I was picking between a bunch of sort of mid-price madness dudes And the irony was that all five of the dudes that I picked were on the exact same score after round one. But Buckets had by far the best finish out of any of those dudes. So happy days. He finished 14th for me.
Yeah.
So not too bad. Like when I look at the names above him, I've either picked him or would never pick him.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Arlinghouse wasn't on your list?
Nah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's Andrew Miranda, Raven Newsome. Like these aren't. Like, I know these are names that can pop off, Cole Rodalin, but I'm never going to be like, this is a good Cole Rodalin tournament.
Yeah, exactly.
No. Who'd you go with?
I jagged Simon Lizotte, eighth, first top 10 since May.
Wow.
So feeling pretty good about that as well.
Yeah, wow. That's very good timing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that put you in a very good spot in our tipping thing. I think I might have had our third best result this week, and it didn't move me at all. I'm just dead in the water, I think. But we'll see. I thought I might have still some spicy ones left, but I think some other people have got some spicy ones left too.
Yeah, so I like the sharing of the stables. Yeah. We're looking spicy. It turned out I didn't realize until I looked at the tour points today. I've got three top fives left in the MPO. They're top five dogs. Three of the top five are still in my stable.
That's nice. I've got two, definitely.
Yeah.
And some good FPOs. But, yeah, I don't know. Let's, I'm dead. But I think you might be looking all right. I reckon you might end up taking this out.
I hope so. And I'll be fucking crediting the spreadsheet if it does.
Yeah, I'll do that next year.
Yeah.
I probably won't, but.
And all other listeners who are not yet on it, you got to get, I've said it before on the pod, but we gamify a lot of things, mostly Alan, but I get on board. And I stand by that this Pro Tour one's my funnest.
It's so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
Those two DNFs are just killing me. If I just, I think about it all the time. I'm like, everyone else got 200 for Kristen and I got zero.
Yeah.
That changes a lot of things for me.
It really does.
Anyway. Not mad at all. All right. We don't have any airing of grievances. That would have been meant to be next on the list, but no one was mad. You tried to suggest a grievance. We were trying to get any of the Parked Boys fired up because what we didn't cotton on to last week when we were talking about the junior thing is that like they Park will obviously need working with children's forms. Anyone who has checks, I mean, anyone who interacts with the players in an official capacity needs one. And I guess I didn't realize that it's not like an Australia thing. So
no,
I need to get a Victorian one, which is fine for me. But if Park want to go film in Queensland, well, then they need a Queensland one and a Perth one and a whatever one. So that's tough. So, yeah. We were trying to reach out for them for a grievance, but I guess I'll air that there. That's tough on them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, other than that, we got no grievances, so I'm sad.
Okay.
People need to get a little more disgruntled, I think.
Yeah, fucking fire up, people.
But we do have, let me find it. We do have this. Oh. Boom, we got some King of the Hill.
So here we go.
We mentioned on the last pod that we might have a few hills.
Yes, we will.
That we're looking to climb here. And this is the next one. So we've done the Melbourne scene hill. And now we're looking at the Aussie hill. So these are the best of the best Australia-wide. And we thought outsourcing this would be good. And the name we came up with was Zachy Boy from ACT.
Yep.
One of the Canberra Crush cousins. It's not really one of the brothers, but he's maybe a cousin. And I think he's done a really good job. So we'll check this out. We had a phone call with him the other day and got this out there, and I liked it. I may have snuck the details off to Dazza and maybe less like coming from him, especially on the bottom level. So I'm interested to see what kind of feedback comes from this. Oh, and I'll, after this, we'll have to get the feedback that you may have received from our last one.
Yes.
But, yeah, this is Zach and our little combo here with the king of the Aussie, King of the Hill.
Sounds good.
All right, Zach, thanks for joining us here. We're real excited. The Melbourne one was a lot of fun for myself. And now hopefully this will be a bit of fun for Chris too, because he's blind on this one. We're really keen to see your thoughts on this. You're a bit of a touring pro on the Aussie scene, so you know what's going on with these guys. Yeah. And I think you're a good one to figure out the tier system. So what's your criteria? Like, how have you come up with it? And I don't know. What are your thoughts?
So similar to what you guys were talking about, let me start by saying, firstly, been a listener for a while on the pod. Really appreciate you guys having me on. So let's jump into it. The idea behind this is you got to weigh up, I think, performance in majors is like the number one thing.
Okay.
But then consistency does come into it. So rating will have an effect. Like if you look down the list on PDJ, it's gonna be a lot of familiar names. But the way I've organized it is actually I've named the tiers. And I think there is the way we got it structured with the pyramid does make it interesting, because you've got, I think, a pretty clear top four in Australia right now, and there's only three slots at the top. So Sick. One person's had to miss out.
Excellent.
And go into the third tier. So congrats. The gimmick is working for controversy.
Yeah.
Let's start with the top. We've got, I've called this tier the king. And it's none other than Peaches. It's David Perry.
Excellent.
Yes.
I mean, he's clearly, I think, number one right now. He's the reigning Aussie champ. He's the most recent major champ. And he's got the peach. I mean, how can you go past it? So he's top of the pyramid for me.
That's
correct.
I don't think that anyone's going to have a lot of contention with that one.
No.
All right. So then we've got, I think, three players for two slots. Do you guys want to guess who the three players are?
Blake,
awesome. Yep.
Yeah. Who else do you think in there, Chris?
Bainey.
Oh. Yep.
Yep. Who do you think?
And then I reckon the other one you're grappling with, I'd like to think the other one you're grappling with is, it's a flip between Aussie and Canaston. I'm going to say you're grappling with Aussie.
You're on the money. 100%.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
You're on the money. Yeah. So, I'll just jump in. I'll reveal how I've kind of split it. But those are the three for the two slots. Tier two is called Team Australia, and that is Blake and Bainey. So they're my tier two. Blake, I mean, he's 1,000 rated. Bainey's also 1,000 rated. I think you get consistency with those guys at majors, and that's probably the number one reason. Like, Austin's won a bunch of majors, but I just think as far as like consistent performance there, he's probably as likely to win, but the other guys are getting more top fives, more top threes. So I've gone with Blake and Bainey on tier two, Team Australia. And you're also on the money, Alex and Austin, of course, on the next tier. I've called this tier Major Problems. all three of these guys are absolute problems at majors. I would be very scared that these guys are going to, you know, challenge any of the top three at a major. And I've got Austin, I've got AK-47, and I've got Jade Brady.
Okay. Big. I like it.
Yep, I like it. Yep.
So you might be looking at the PDGA list, and you might notice that there's been a name skipped.
Yeah.
I've popped that person at the top of the next tier. I've got C-tier Terrors as the next tier. C-tier
Terrors, excellent.
And the top of that list is none other than Chris Hill, Chili.
Mm.
How do you guys feel about that? About popping him top of that tier and not the other one?
I mean, that's fair. I don't... he did come second at a Nationals, but that feels like a long time ago. Other than that, I don't remember seeing his name at the top of too many majors in contention, so I think it's probably fair.
Yep.
Chris, with the way you're weighing up majors, I think it makes sense. And I he just travels a bit more as well, doesn't he, Jade? Like, Chile's obviously got a lot of other commitments, and I think Jade takes rifle place at tier three. Well done.
Cool, cool. All right. Also in that group, we've got Daihatsu Dan Frost. We've got 1,000 Red Patty. You might see on the image, it's 100 emoji with a zero I drew. Sick. And a few voice for that one, for 1,000 Patty. And then we've got Dylan Feldman. He's got a sore back. He's still C tier tarot. I had a look at some of his tournaments because he's played a few and he's dropped a lot of rating. He's dropped like 30 points. But he's played quite well at a couple C tiers. Like, I think he like played about 1,000 rated at one recently. And I was thinking about the next tier and I was like, these guys, if they rock up to a C tier against anyone who's below them in this little tier list, I'm backing them. So I've gone with Dylan Feldman at the back of tier four.
There you go. Well, I like the name of that list because if you had a look at Dylan's Vic Open this year, you might not be having him so high. But if you're calling it C tier terror, then ignore the major.
Well, that's the thing. I think this tier, I think, is a perfect tier for guys who I don't feel like are rocking up to a major as a favorite, as one of the top three competitors. And like, it's interesting. I mean, three-time or four-time? I should really know this. But is he three-time or four-time Aussie champ? And you feel like he's struggled a little bit at majors recently. Dan, I mean, he's been in and around. He's got a lot of top fives. I mean, Chile's, I think he's won a New South Wales Open, but that was a little while ago against a little bit of a weaker field. Mm. And then Dill, I think, is relegated to this through injury. So I thought that was a pretty natural grouping.
For mine, Dylan's either in this tier or he's not on the list. It definitely doesn't belong in tier five. He's too good for that. So I'm glad you've made room for him there, but I would have also been comfortable, given his injuries, for him not to make the list.
100%. I actually had him initially off the list, and then I did a little bit of a deeper dive. I was looking at the PDJ list, make sure I didn't snub anyone that I shouldn't be snubbing. I was like, I should check to see what Dill's been playing. And he has actually played a few good tournaments at C tiers. So I was like, you know what? If I rock up to a C tier and he rocks up to a C tier, he's probably taking me. So
he's probably going to win the Invalid Open next weekend, to be fair. So
that too. Yep. All right. Tier five, are we ready?
Yes.
Because I think this is where it starts to get interesting.
It's so squirrely. It's so squirrely.
Very squirrely. You're right, 100%. This tier is called I'd Be Shocked If You Won a Major. And the top of that list is Ryan Deere.
Deeros makes it on. Let's go.
I was shocked when he won a major. So I was like, you know what? I have to put some respect on the man's name. He's got to be at the top of this list.
That's true. You can't have a major win under your belt this year that wasn't in Tasmania and not make the pyramid, surely.
That's it. He's made the pyramid. I was considering putting him tier four because, like, I didn't name it C tier terrors, but that was before I put the labels on him and stuff. But I was like, mate, is he top 10? Because he's got a major. Maybe he is. But I think this is a great spot for him. Number 11, top of this tier. He's still rising. He's still charging. But it was a slightly weaker field, as there weren't a lot of interstate people. I mean, majorly weaker field. But he still won against a bunch of guys who were very good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? Top of this tier for mine. Next up, we've got Leith Brody.
Yep.
He's sneaky. He's 976 rated.
He's always good.
He's just Mr. Consistent, you know? Like, I think he deserves to be in the top 15 play. He's got some good results. He's, like, got a bunch of top 10s and big comps. Like, I think he's just in the mix.
Yeah.
The Olympian deserves to be on the list.
Mm.
You say that, you know what? His little I've put little logos against all of these guys on the pyramid. And he's just the Olympic ring, so don't you worry. That's covered.
Good.
Next, we've got Mr. MP. Mr. Four in there. Paul Phillips. Paul Phillips. We got him on the tier list. He struggles a bit more at majors, so I couldn't pop him. Even though he's a bit of a C tier terror, like, he does do very well in those comps. I think just generally he's not quite the level of the Chile, Dan, Paddy, and Dill. So I popped him here. I've got a couple contentious ones to come up. Clayton Beck is my next person on the pyramid.
Spicy.
And I've got the little aviators against his name.
Yeah, or Pilot Beck.
Pilot Beck, yeah. He's been kind of sneaky playing well. I mean, he picked up the South Australian Open this year. I think that's right. It was against a real weak field, but like, I don't know. It's still like a interstate competition that he's gone and won. He's sneakily improving. Like he's up on that first page on the PDGA ranking. So I was considering him. I was considering a couple other names. I won't mention the one name yet. That's last, but a couple honorable mentions before I get to it. I was considering Aaron Morton, but I was like, he doesn't play enough comps, and he plays mainly in Queensland. I've got to weight guys who travel interstate a little bit more highly. Chris Finn, I was thinking of Jacob Davies. I was thinking of from out in WA. I was really trying to let any not let any state bias come into this. I've got Blakey Nichols. He's up there. He's up to 966. He deserves some respect as well. Like Aiden Howard, Leo Dykes, Marcus Velotta was very much in the mix.
I love how far you're going with these honorable mentions, because I'm picking up what's coming.
The man who I cannot go past, and neither can so many people in the MPO field, it's Tim Bowen. It's 10 Bowen himself.
10
He's at
Bowen.
the bottom. He's the last slot, tier five, 10 Bowen. I'd be shocked if he won a major, but bloody hell, he's going to get, he's going to probably scrape cash, isn't he?
Yeah, for
He is.
sure.
He is.
Oh, I didn't realize that was a
He
last
makes
spot.
my list.
I thought you were fishing a little further for a Z James.
No, don't worry. I'm not that deluded.
Nah,
that's I'm
fair.
Not even in the honorable mentions.
You have to. I feel like the amount he plays and the good finishes he's had and the wins, you have to have Tim in there over all those names that you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, Mikey here, you guys have chatted him up. I know this is primarily Victorian pod, so I should probably chat up some Victorians.
Nah,
Mikey,
Mikey's
got to
do
rise, isn't
something
he?
Other than win a social day.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, he had a good finish out at the Queensland Open. He played some very solid golf, and he putted badly, and his throwing is really good. Obviously, he gets bonus points for being the King's mate, EP. So I mean, Ryan Hardy's got the talent. He could easily jump up into the major problems list if he was able to kind of iron out a few of the kinks. So
It's
there's
a
some names out there.
yeah. It's a volatile mountain. I think there's room for movement here, like at any given major. Alan, would you have Phillips on your mountain?
So this is why it's great that we've got Zach on here, because of all the names on that top section, he's the only person that I swear both you and I have, well, I definitely have no knowledge of this man. And I'm pretty sure you
No.
don't either. So, I'm glad you have him there, because I have no idea. I don't know enough about him. So if you're saying he's there, I believe it.
He's got a good
Yeah.
forehand. He's really consistent. He's a very good putter. He's got a very good forehand, and he doesn't make mistakes. But I don't think he's got the ceiling of the guys above him in the pyramid. So I think he's going to be the best MP40 player in Australia for a while if he decides to stay there. And no one else kind of comes up and joins him. I think Jade's getting close to 40 now.
Ooh.
So he might at some point, but and that would just be a complete write-off for the rest of the MP40 field. But I think Jade's got the desire to compete for a little while. So yeah,
I like it.
yep.
I think it's a good list. Was there anything you would change, Chris, you think?
Yeah, so Phillips, I had a quick look at his PDGA. I don't think he's got interstate much, and when he has, he's got pantsed. And yeah, he definitely hasn't. He hasn't obviously, shown. He hasn't been at any nationals that I've been at. So I was wondering, like, as an MP40 player, I was wondering if I'd look at a Chris Finn begrudgingly, or even a Ryan Johnson, if I was going to keep a slot free for MP40. Ryan Johnson at majors has been huge in MP40. But yeah, this Phillips name just flies me by. But he can't be that highly rated and not be that good. So Alan's right. We did right by getting you on.
Good calls on Finney and also Ryan Johnson. Ryan, I think is he the reigning MP40 champion, or was he maybe second?
It's hard to keep
He's had
track.
some
I can't
really
remember
strong
anymore.
results.
At the last nationals, like one of the Canadians took it down, and then Finney took second, and Johnson took third. The one
There you go.
before that, Johnson took it down.
Yep. So he's been in around for ages, and when his putting's on, he is really good. So yeah, there's some good players in that MP40 space. It was tough. Tier 5 was tough. I was like, damn. I feel like that part is really subject to change. Maybe after the next major. I mean, we've got a couple coming up, don't we?
Nah, it could get
New South
real.
Wales, we've got Eruption.
Yeah.
We got Nationals. Yeah.
Could get real different real soon. So, nah, we love it. We'll have to get you back on when the next time you feel like there's some movement. So if you
Right.
sort of just keep track of it over, loosely, as you would do. And if you think that some names might be jumping up and jumping down, or jumping in and jumping out, then yeah, give it an update and we'll get you back on.
All right. I love it. Thanks for having me, boys. Love the
Perfect.
pod. Keep it up. Also, Peter Choo train, Choo Choo. I'm on board. Let's go.
That's it. I love it. Thanks, Zach.
Right. Cheers,
Sick.
guys. Bye.
He's on board the Peter Choo train, he says. I like it. Good. That was good list by Zach. Now you've had a bit of time to reflect on it. What do you think? Anything different to what you said just before?
He's done really well. I think I stand by my Phillips observation. And if Tim Bowen didn't make the list, I would have liked it to be Zach. I was going to say that during our chat. I would have just to shit on Tim. I was like, oh, I couldn't find room for Tim, but I found room for
That's room
myself.
for me.
I thought that could have been really good. Who did Dads think he missed?
I don't know. I don't know if he put replacements in. I think he was just upset with the people he put. Not upset, but Daz. You know Daz. So that'd be interesting to see. Send in your feedback. Anyone who thinks that he might have missed some. It's interesting that we've got Ville as the top of our
Yeah, I
Melbourne
know.
hill, but Deiros is the only, Melbourne one, the only person on that hill who made the Aussie hill. But I think it's fair. I think Deiros has done more in the Australian scene this year, and Ville has been smoking the Melbourne scene a bit more, so.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it works out perfectly, and that's why we need many hills. Do you want to hear the feedback from the Melbourne Hill?
Please do. Yep.
So, all in all, I got lots of feedback. I have to tell you, I got lots of feedback, and by far and away, overwhelmingly, people are like, "Great top 15, really nailed it." Now, one thing that Zach did differently to me was I didn't separate my tiers. Like, if you were in tier 4, it didn't mean that Penn was better than me, because just because I said Penn names first, and as you know, Penn's my bunny, so I wouldn't have put Penn above me. So my tier 4 was just tier 4 equal, and Zach did that a bit differently, which I thought was interesting. Overwhelmingly, people are like, yep, you've nailed that list. I got a great message from Parrish saying that I thought I was hard done by until I went and played on the weekend, and he's like, I'm probably lucky to make the list. Tier 5's right, there's the right slot for me. But Alan, people are uncomfortable sharing a slot with you.
Good. That's so good. Not
I
just Kalen, but people, everyone.
Not just Kalen. Not just Kalen.
That's so good.
The most upset player was probably Oscar. Oscar's like, I can't believe you've got me on equal tier to Alan Brunsting.
I love it.
Obviously, we expected it from Kalen, and we did hear it from Kalen. He said it's bad for my reputation. But Oscar was hurt. Oscar was really hurt. And he's like, I don't yet have a replacement for him, but as soon as I do, Alan Brunsting has to be the first name to go.
That's so good. Yeah, that's the thing. You want to kick me off? Who are you putting on? You gotta name names. You can't just say kick Alan off. That's not what we do here.
Now, I did have, I won't name names, but we did have an MA50 player hit me up. And he put forward, I'm not going to lie, he put forward a very valid argument about being, and this was the only player. So I thought I'd have a few players hit me up saying, where am I? And I had one MA50 player hit me up and saying, where am I? And he put forward some stats, and they were formidable. They were very formidable. And look, in the next update, he might make the list. He might not. But in the meantime, I think that might be the next hill we're working on. Is that fair to say?
The MA50 hill.
Yeah.
Potentially. We might
It's
have
in the
something.
barrel.
We got an MA50 hill in the barrel. And but I think what might end up coming for that, just because I might see him on the weekend, is we might have a bit of a chump hill.
Yes.
Coming. So the same Melbourne hill, but with a ratings cap. Maybe a sub 900 hill. An ant hill, perhaps. So we'll keep your ears posted for that, but there might be something going down at Inverley this weekend if our stars align. And if that's the case, then we might have that next week, and potentially the MA 50 hill might be after that, but we'll see how it all times out. But we got hills and I'm enjoying them so far, so hopefully other people are too. And and come at me with your replacement. I'm more than happy to for people to want to kick me off the hill, but who are you putting on? Then I've got a target. That's who I know I need to beat. So yeah. If you want to get me off that hill, then let me know who goes on.
I don't know if you saw, but David Perry commented.
No, I missed that.
Because I put a bit of bait out there, because obviously David Perry, the top of the Australian hill, does not feature on ours, because my only stipulation is that they must have played a Melbourne Social Day. Happy to also confirm that Ruben has indeed played a Melbourne Social Day. I went and fact-checked myself, and turns out he has, so that's awesome. And so I put a bit of bait out there for David Perry, and his reply was, "What's a social day? Never heard of them."
Don't give a fuck about our hill. That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a funny boy, Dave.
Yeah.
All right, what do we got next? We've got not much. We'll do a little bit of an Inverley Open preview, just a quick one, and then we'll do some dollars guarantee and some swallow and all to finish it up.
Let's do it.
Sounds great. I'm G'd up. The Inverley Open course is looking real cool. So they've got... How many players do we have at the moment now? 95 players, and they're running two courses at once. That's how it's working. We've got the email came out today, and Pool A is playing the new 18, the new like Gold East or something, I think they're calling it. And the other Pool B will be playing the White Tees at the same time. Shotgun start, two sets, like, which just means that we can have... Shotgun starts here for 144 people, which is fucking sick.
So sick.
And then the next day, the Pool A will be playing the gold layout, the normal gold layout, and Pool B will be playing the new Gold East.
Oofed. So, good luck, Pool B.
Yeah, exactly.
Are they separating it by like quality? Like, is Pool A like the top divisions, or is it just a bit of a mix?
I'd have to imagine because Pool A doesn't play the whites, so they play to both golds. So I'd have to imagine they did not specify, or at least that I saw, they didn't specify what's Pool A and Pool B. But from context, I imagine there's they're splitting it at a quality level somewhere. So I don't know where they make that split.
Hot take: Gold East is harder than OG Gold.
Well, I haven't played I've only played 9 of them yet.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure, but they're definitely like. There's definitely holes that are harder, I think. I think there might be a couple that I think are easier, but I think overall probably the 9 that we have played is harder.
Yeah.
So keen to play the new... Have you played the full 18 or not?
No, of course not. Okay.
Nah, keen to play that. Looks cool. It's all looks like it's all mixed in. It's going to be sick. I'm very excited for that. So that'll be good. And then a pretty good NPO field in there. I think Dill has to go in the favorite. Even old injured Dill.
Yep. Yeah. I believe it.
Yeah. So obviously Paddy's going to be good, and then all the Melbourne boys and stuff. So I think it's going to be tight, but it's Inverley. It's fucking Dylan. It's going to be tough to beat.
Yeah. Agreed. Obviously, Diros is there. Aiden's there. Leo's there. It's an awesome NPO field. But, you said it to Zach, and I know he's injured, but at the end of the day, it's like, it's Dylan Feldman. He has to go on favorite.
Yeah, for sure. And MP40, it's Ruben, and then there's a couple others playing. But
the Daylight.
I think Daylight. Last time I said that, though, Timmy Ware might have stepped up to Ruben pretty good. I can't remember if he beat him or not, but it was fucking close battle. But yeah, Rubes, Timmy Ware, and Josh Smith, and I just expect that after 36 very difficult holes that Ruben wins at, probably pretty chill.
I think so. Josh Smith's my boy, though, in here, and I can't help but root for the fella. He's not put a good performance together. I'd love to see him, like, if you're going to put a good performance together somewhere and to be like, you know what, I can still play, like, this is the place to do it. If he puts in a 940-plus tournament, Josh Smith, I'll be stoked.
Mm. Wow.
But I won't be surprised if he puts in an 840 tournament.
Gotcha, okay. I was like, there might have to be a little bit of Alan and Josh Thrower's guarantee here then if you've got the 940 dreams for Josh. But, yeah, maybe not.
No.
MA1 stacked at the top. So you got Penn and Chris Scott, the two best MA1 players we've got. And I'd be surprised if anyone beats them, to be fair.
No. Yeah. Yep.
So good field, though. Like, real thick. A lot of good chump meaty boys in there. And yep. I'll have to play well to try to keep my spot on that pyramid, I guess. Sam Barnett's sort of right there. Juan, Narada, Brett. Oh, Brett's on it too, so he's got to watch his spot. So it's going to be a good one.
It is. There could be updates afoot. I'm looking forward to watching those 16 players go at it.
16 on a good field. Very good field.
Yeah.
MA40, another healthy field, 12 of them. Glenn Mazey's back. He's good. He's been playing real good. Went and took out that tournament in Gambia against Justin Clark, who is playing at this event. And Cooper Thompson's down here. Haas, Taz, Jay Ross. It's good. This is a good, good field. I really, really like it. But I would not surprise me. Like, cause Glenn is just back. It would not surprise me if he takes it down. Distance could be the problem, though. So JC, I think JC's got him well covered in the distance there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's spicy. It's spicy. It's particularly spicy for that, like, who's making lead card. That Claire through Jay bottleneck is thick.
Mm, for sure.
Yeah.
No, that'd be a good one to watch. I'll be, fully invested in that, I think. MA50, pretty good turnout there as well. Carey's hurt. So I don't expect him to play well. I think he's like hurt, bad hurt, like messy hand.
I've seen photos. Yeah. No, he's hurt.
Cranny recently back. I think I just haven't seen him for ages. I've still got his Thrower shirt from the original order. So I think he went on a big trip or something. So Richard Lewis Shell been playing really good. Hank Terpstra is a Jet and he lives down there. So I think that's going to be a spicy one. So if Carey's not up to it, then it's going to be tight battle, I reckon, out of the rest of that. But, I don't know. We're back in our boy, Thrower's team member, Cranny.
Okay, not Thrower's team member, Carey Edwards. Okay.
No, yeah, I think he's too hurt.
That's hard with that end. Yeah, that is hard with that end. I think he threw a bunch left-handed at the most recent thing.
Yeah, he's not winning a tournament left-handed.
That's how hurt he is. Yeah, you're not winning if you're throwing left-handed, but yeah.
And then Alex Young Jackaway leads the MA2 field pretty comfortably. He's the only one there over 900 rated. But, yeah, a lot of the standard ones that we see, the Melbourne crew in MA2. Picanti reckons he's finally got it all figured out.
Have you seen a video?
Oh, how could you not?
As you know, I don't understand form, but I told him, and I'll say it on the pod, it was the most disc golf looking throw I've seen Aaron
looks
ever
good.
Do.
Yeah, it looks it good. Actually,
yeah, it looked like disc golf. Mm. So that's got to be a step in the right direction.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
I can't back in a foreigner, so I think Sean Freeman's just going to spice up this one.
Oh, he fired up for at least one round of Vic Open too. Yeah. Sean, he has it in him.
Yeah, yeah. I think he was beating me at one stage, and I was very uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
MA3, Ash Weedner, right at the tippy top of that. Local boy Ben Hines there as well. Carlton Clerk, who's been dominating lately. A lot of names in there. A lot of names in there that could really pop off. It's who's going to hit the least amount of trees? Who out of that group do you think will hit the least amount of trees?
Yeah, good question. You know, look, it's MA3 in it, you know, so yeah. Like even someone like Schleffel or Josh Quinn, like you can look quite deep into that list to find a winner, I think.
I think so. Paul Jankar throws too far. Yeah. He might hit 1,000 trees though, but he throws far. He's like Tommy boy there. See, I don't know. I haven't had any regrets yet picking Carlton, so I'm going to keep on that bandwagon. I'll go with Carlton.
Ash won't be able to win with the favourite target, I don't think. So I will back in Ben Hines.
Hinesy.
There yeah.
A few girls in the FA3, which is good to see. And yeah. That's a real tight battle. Not much between any of that. So I don't recognise a couple of the names.
Who's Simone?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Simone McKnight.
All the other names I've heard, for sure.
Yeah, okay.
Obviously, we know who Marta is. We know who Michaela is. And Megan's been to a few Melbourne things. But Simone, I'm not familiar with.
Mm.
And even Cambrian Hill, like, where the hell is that?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Is it a Geelong thing, maybe?
Wouldn't have a clue. But
yeah.
Her rating is not in bold, so therefore I do not trust it. So I'm just going to say Marta's going to win. Marta will get it done.
Yeah, let's go.
Nice.
Team Estonia.
Only six in the MA4, because if you're MA4, what are you doing? Why would you want to play Inverley? That would be silly.
East is going to do damage.
So I guess we'll just back in our boy Throllers team member, Ash Brookers. The only name that I actually know.
Oh, yeah, he's winning by a country mile. I think you'll find out. I mean, but beware. I love the 312,000 player, though. Like, beware the freshest player on the track, true. Noah.
True.
But, good luck.
Yeah, I know, right? Shit.
Yeah. Plus 108.
All right. I've got to find some Throllers guarantee stuff out of this then. Have you got anything good to go, or are you still spying? Yeah,
I've got some questions. No. I've got some questions.
Send me some questions.
All right. So, I wrote it down. Yes, I did. Good. How would you score me for a Leo Dykes top four?
Leo in a top four. Well, I feel like Dylan Paddy are probably locked in to a four. So then the rest are chasing in the other two. He's right there. Ville's been hot. Michelle's there a bit. All right. I guess he would be less likely to than two, in my opinion, just because of the sheer numbers there. Ryan Hart at Inverley. Top four. I'd have to say, it's tough. The three and seven. So three, he doesn't. And seven makes top four.
I was worried you might do that. All right. I was going to jump on a four if you gave it to me. If it's 6-4, I was going to jump on the four. There's no way.
It's just too many. There's too many good guys there to really lock down on that for mine.
All right. The next thing I was going to have you do, but it's a bit harder, if you're still thinking, was I was going to have you give me a line for Ruben Berg.
Oh, to win by.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I could do. I normally base the lines off ratings, and they normally come out pretty good. So Timmy Ware's his next best, and he's 30 something odd ahead of them. So that's 4-ish strokes, and we play 2 rounds, and it never quite works that way. So let's say 7.5.
Oh, good. I'm going to take Ruben to beat that line.
To beat the 7.5, yeah.
Yeah, he'll win by 8 or more.
Okay. All right. No worries. For 5.
Yeah.
What do I want to do? I know what I want to do, but I don't want to do it. What's that? What's the Allen versus Chris Hart?
Oh, okay. An Allen versus Chris Hart. Where's he Look, Alan, you are favorite. Even though Chris Hart has designed the course, but he's had a lean year, Chris Hart. He's had a lean couple of years. He's not the Glenn Macy's of old.
Him and I are rated the same, like every update.
I'm gonna go. You can be a narrow favorite. You can be a four.
Okay, don't love it. All right. What about? I got a couple other head to heads. What about? It's a carry to win MA50.
Oh, that's dodgy.
To win or not? if it's two injuries, I'm happy to. If with the injury, I'm happy to stay away from that if you think it's dodgy.
Exactly. I don't know. It depends. Like, I don't know. Like, you don't have insider trading on this. Like,
I don't. I just don't. Yeah. I know he hurt his hand.
Yeah. He's hurt.
And apparently he's throwing left-handed, which can't be good.
He's throwing left-handed. He sent me a photo. He's got cut to the bone. But, like, did it heal? Can he tape it up and play well?
I honestly don't know. I'm not being shenanigans. It was just when I said I think Cranny will win, you were like, oof, Carey. Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, maybe Chris has got a – might be feeling a little too confident on the man.
I think, yeah, it's hard to score. But I'll say Carey is the whole field. Yeah, but it's only Cranny. He's a six and a half.
Yeah.
It's like he's only a seven and a six. Like, I can't but I know what you want to do. But if
– I don't even know what I want to do.
Carey's a I think he would withdraw. And if he DNFs, that's fine, you get nothing. I'm gonna say that's how we do DNFs, isn't it? Like, it becomes a no race, doesn't it?
Sure. I can't remember.
Oh no, but if he starts, then he just loses. Yeah, sorry. But if he doesn't start, he hasn't pulled out. I think he's backing himself in. I don't want to give you the field. Ask me what Johnny to win, I'll give you.
I'll give you a four. Cranny or Richard or Hank. I like them all.
Yeah, then Carey's a seven.
To lose.
Carey's a seven
to win. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Carey's a seven to win against the field. Yeah,
I don't want to.
But for Johnny, I'd give you four.
I don't want any of that. Nah, that's fine. All right. Yeah, I don't love me. I don't like betting against me. And I don't love that Carey one. All right. I'll do... Kalen versus Andrew Young, Jack Away.
Ooh, shit. That's good. All right. I like this already. All right. Kalen versus Andrew Young, Jack Away. Do you know what? Andrew's favorite. I don't know if Kalen, who fucked if I know what Kalen's ever done at Invalid before. I know he can throw far, but there's trees in the way, and I'm not sure he can handle that. So I'm actually going to give Andrew the ratings benefit and say Andrew's a four.
Okay. I fully expected to take Andrew, and now I'm taking Kalen. Because I think they're a good split. If you're going to give me five, I probably would have taken Andrew to fuck with Kalen. But
yeah,
I think they're a split. So you're giving me 1 point more. I'll take that. I'll take Kalen to beat Andrew.
Bang. There we go.
Cool. All right, we got there in the end. So that was it. Sorry, guys. That was a slow one. All right. I like that. Bit of a spotlight, not light to finish us off.
Yes, please.
I've got one sent in. Here from Matty Mutter. So I'll go with that one first. He goes, "Hey Alan, hoping to put forward a nomination for next week's spotlight if I can." Of course you can. We're listener driven. Not disc golf related, but I would like to nominate Narada and the Man Cave for the work they do. I had some people at work yesterday talking about their teenage kids and how challenging it was now with all the stuff that comes through on socials. One person was highlighting how hard it was with older teenage boys and all the awful things that they can get exposed to, Andrew Tates and the like, and their concern on how to speak about and deal with it. He then went on to say that a company called The Man Cave came out to the school and did a session with the boys. He continuously praised the work that The Man Cave did and how it supported his sons in having a safe and honest conversation about these things and what it was to be a good man. He said it made a world of difference to his own situation and how he and his sons can openly have conversations about these things and the dangers that can present, as well as help steering them in the direction of what it is to be a real man who can love and support those around him. A bit of a long text, anyway, but huge. That was really cool to see. It was very nice story there that Matt sent me, and I was more than happy to get that out there. That is really cool to see, just a genuine story of, of something good. And Narada, you know, might not have been directly involved in that, but he is involved in that stuff. So to him and the Man Cave, you get a spotlight. Spotlights!
Yeah, good work, and well done on the button. Look, we have Man Cave visit our school as well. We have now for a number of years, and their sentiment is definitely, bang on. I agree wholeheartedly with that sentiment. I've already done my honorable mention, so I'm just going to go straight to my spotlight. And my spotlight goes to friend of the show, Scott Stokely.
Oh, yeah?
Have you seen his latest idea?
Nah. No.
Now, this has not come to fruition yet, but I hope it does. I would eat this up. He is, I've just gone and forgotten the guy's name. Dallas Yarba or something. There's a kid that Scott Stokely essentially, like, sponsors. In like disc golf, and he's a kid, he's young, he's up and coming, and he just plays like C-tiers, B-tiers, A-tiers, whatever. He's not on tour at all, but he's having a good year, Scott. But he plans on going on tour next year, and Scott's like, hey, thinking about doing my current travels, giving them a rest, and doing nothing other than following him around and documenting his original year on the tour, just to see what it's like for a kid trying to hit the tour in the US right now. And I wanted to like put it out like documentary styles week on week, what it's like to like try to make the pro tour.
That's cool.
This kid, I think it's a fucking sick idea. And this kid's already won like a bunch of A-tiers this year. Like, he's not like a joke. Like, he's, you know, he's not on tour, but he's winning A-tiers, and he's the type of kid that might, you know, go on tour and actually, you know, mix it up a little bit. And I think it's fucking sick. I would eat that up. So that is absolutely my spotlight. I hope Scott Stokely goes with it. He's put it out on social saying, hey, what do people think? And people are just like, Scott, do this. And like, not only do it, like, invest in this. Like, bring people on board to like help you document this. Like, this is something that might like have longevity in the game, like as like a documentary series. So I think it's a sick idea, and it absolutely gets my spotlight this week. Spotlights!
Yeah, cool. No, that sounds good. I'd definitely watch that for sure.
Yeah.
My spotlight, because the other one was Maddie's, but my spotlight goes to Ilya, the disc golfer, not your kid.
Oh, no, not my son. Okay,
no, sorry. I don't know that motherfucker. What's he done for me? There was no disc golf on the weekend, so Ilya, who's new to the club and new to the country, just made up a metrics event and said, hey, guys, register, play whenever you want. Boom, let's go. And there was a bunch of people out. There was a flex start thing. There was a bunch of people out playing. I probably should have got it up, but I thought that was super cool. When I was out there doing my stuff at Bald Hill, just ran into a lot of people out there doing it and having fun, because why not? And it was simple for him to do, and he just did it, but no one else does that shit. So that was really cool. So well done, Ilya.
Good job. I did see that. Well done. I don't have any not lights.
Nah, me either. I'm blank.
Yep.
I'm blank. Good week, guys. Jeez. No not lights. I think I'm a couple weeks deep there with no not lights.
I mean, I would have found one if disc golf happened this weekend. True. Local disc golf happened, but there was no real local disc golf, so I've come up with no not lights.
True. Nah, sounds good. And I think that's it. We might have a bit of a chat with Alex Evans next week if I'm sort of half reading some messages coming through. Something to do with a junior championship coming up.
Okay.
So that'll be cool. We'll have to get him on and, find out a little bit more about that. But that'll be next week. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Oh, no.
Alan. Yeah.
Let's not go.
Yeah, you said you had something.
I had something. Thanks for sticking around, people. I just read in my notes for once. I've taken notes and it saved my bacon. Look, Throllers Invitational, I might mention this again on later podcasts, but it's still a few weeks away. It clashes with the Paul McBeth Foundation Disc Golf Day. Now, what is going to happen there on the 20th of September? Am I getting my month right?
Yep.
Is for every round completed on UDisc on that day, UDisc will donate 10 cents to the Paul McBeth Foundation. Everyone is also free to just like go and donate money to the McBeth Foundation. Obviously, doing a great job of growing the sport internationally and in spots where like disc golf doesn't grow. Anyway, here's my pledge. I'm willing to donate money to the Paul McBeth Foundation, and I will donate $1 for every rating point I play above my rating on that day.
Oh, no shit. That could be huge.
It could be, and it could be zero. And I could be hitting up Paul McBeth to say, hey, mate, you owe me $350 because I played 350 below my rating. But I have full intentions to play above my rating. And yeah, you know, if I play 10-50 golf, and I'll donate $100. Let's go.
That's
so
cool.
That's my pledge, and I'm encouraging others to consider making similar pledges. Like Pakanti, I encourage you to maybe pledge $1 for every rating point you play below your rating.
That could get real dangerous.
Listeners and players of the Non-Invitational, check it out. Check out what they're doing and what they're trying to raise money for. And if you want to make a pledge, I'd be keen to hear it.
That's awesome. All right, I love it. Yep. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.